This is the November 5th meeting of the Pacifica National Board Governance Committee meeting. I'm the chair, George Reiter. I'm going to call the roll. Lydia Brazan.
Here.
Mal Bernstein. Vanessa Dixon-Briggs.
Here.
Nancy Hinchel. Nancy, are you muted?
Martin, here. I'm here.
Bob Lederer.
Here.
Matt Logan.
Here.
Tony Norman, myself, George Reiter, Lawrence Reyes.
Here.
Tracy Rosenberg.
Here.
Manisha Saba. John Wenger. Jane Zara. Dina Politzak withdrew from the LSB, so she's no longer a member of the committee. Okay, that's eight. That's a quorum. There was no pre-existing agenda. I think what I'd like to do is to just go ahead and construct one. We had two submissions. One was from both from Lydia. One had to do with the replacing of the people who are leaving the LSDs and a procedure for that. The other had to do with the setting agendas for the PND. I'd like to suggest we take the first one first, as it's time urgent for at least for KPFT, anyway. And is, are there any other additions to the agenda? Okay. Well, hearing none. Lydia, would you read the motion as you've written so far?
In terms of the seating, I didn't have a motion. It was just that one of the members, and I can't remember who it was, it may have been Brenda or Serene, had spoken to Richard, who had said he was going to ask you to develop something on the governance committee for the seating of the new folks so that everyone's kind of clear as to what happens in the absence of elections, because some of these, we've been struggling trying to find contact information for all of our alternates because they're not in current membership in some cases. And but anyway, so just something that everybody can be kind of clear on and the same page for this month's meeting. So I don't have anything in particular, although the current membership and how we define that, I would think the date of record for this year as identified in the bylaws would probably be one way to go. But no, I'm not proposing a specific motion.
Okay. So as I understand it, the people going off the board are the ones who've been term limited. Everyone else is staying on. That the first, that the replacements go in order of the whatever the standing was when that board was from the last election. So let's leave KPFK out for a moment. So I think everyone else had an election last year. Is that correct? Anybody want to correct me on that?
Yeah, I think that's true.
So for those, then, that list is presumably still available, and people will be put on in the order that it's in. Now, what Lydia is raising is an interesting question, which is, suppose they're no longer members, are they still entitled to sit on the board? And I guess I would say no, that even if you were a member at the time and you're not a member anymore, it seems to me incongruous to seat somebody who's not even a member of the station. Shows a certain lack of interest. Let me just put that up for discussion. Is that something we would want to sort of make clear as a rule? Any comments on that?
You know, George, I've got a question about that.
Yeah. Tracy for the stack.
Okay. Good. Nancy, then Tracy.
You know, George, at KPFT, we have a problem that was pointed out a few years ago by our general manager, that there's a great number of the people on our board who do not donate any money to the station. And they think that they're members by virtue of volunteering some of their time. And apparently our bylaws are pretty specific that that does not make a person a member unless they are a staff person and they're specifically doing, you know, on-air time. And so, you know, I wonder how that will play in, because I know at KPFT the people that are in line have not joined in terms of donating any money to the station.
Long respect.
Well, I heard two things you said, Nancy. One was people who were, so I'm going to have Tracy, then Lawrence, then Lydia, but I just want to finish this comment. So I heard you say two things. One is that there are people who are on the board now who are no longer members by virtue of not keeping up on their paid membership, and I think you're correct. Time served is a condition for, I'm not sure about that, but I think that's true. It is certainly the case that time served for somebody who's on the staff, I think you can volunteer in other ways, actually. It's not completely
no.
true. No. You can't.
No, you can't volunteer in other ways. It's, bylaws are specific about that.
Okay.
No, so, it's supervised volunteer hours, 3.
So there's a question about people who are still on the board we may want to get into. Okay, Tracy, you're next.
Well, my point mostly got made, which is that you can also be a member for supervised volunteer hours, which basically just includes answering phones in the fund drive room, or it can include clerical work, or at KPFA it's volunteering at our crafts fair. So there are people that are members who may or may not have donated. My thought is, I don't know what my thought is. I mean, in general, of course, people should be paid up members, but people do forget. So I'm wondering whether there might be any sort of grace period along the lines of, well, you have inherited this seat on the board. If you'd like to serve, you have X number of days to get your membership up to date. And we should, of course, be doing this every year with board members. We should have an annual process where you check. And if anybody's not up to date, they have X number, you know, they have a grace period to get themselves up to date. Because I think, on our board at least, people lapse over the course of their 3 and 6 year terms. And it sounds like that's going on in Houston, too. So we might want to have some kind of an annual check on that. But I think I would lean towards giving some kind of a grace period.
Okay.
I mean, in some cases, people may have run for, you know, they ran for the board now, what is it, well over a year ago? And if they lost and had, you know, hard feelings about it, people do sometimes, they may have wandered off and not been paying that much attention for the past year. So I don't think it's impossible we're going to find people in that position.
Okay.
Tracy, point of information, Tracy, $25 in 12 months.
Nancy, that's not a point of information.
No, it's not. And that's what the bylaws say. I'm just telling you what the bylaws say. 3 hours of supervised volunteer time does, in fact, qualify you as a member.
This is Lydia.
And that's defined as fund drive, you know, the fund drive room stuff.
The stack is, Tracy, you're finished now, I gather. Tracy?
Yeah, I was finished before Nancy's point of whatever that was, but now I'm definitely finished.
Okay, good. Lawrence, and then Lydia.
Yeah, one of the things I've always been concerned with, first of all, to address Ms. Rosenberg's point in regards to a grace period for membership, I find that kind of problematic. First of all, and it's the fault, I think, of the local station boards for not involving previous candidates who didn't get elected, and also the candidates themselves who didn't get involved to even to be of service for the last whatever how many years or whatever how many months. So one of the things I also want to point out is that in addition to 3 supervised hours of volunteer work, there's also a clause in the bylaws that mention waivers, and
yes.
you know there's a lot of need for waivers that It's not a handout, it's a hand up, and that's the way it should be looked at. Whether, you know, it's people who are in camping, homeless people, even inmates, you know, in prison, there should be that. That's something that I have argued for years, and it's never been paid attention to in regards to, it's always been $25 and 3 hours of supervised service for, on a case-by-case basis, as the bylaws say, the LSPs could consider a waiver. So I'm almost ready to make a motion that there be a task force that could start dealing with waivers and how that could be not promoted, but make our listeners aware of it. So I'm just about prepared to make a motion. So I'd like to reserve that time to do that, George. Thank you.
Lydia?
Yeah, I mean, I would oppose waivers for these alternates. They ran in a particular election year, and they were current members at that time. And so so the waivers applied during an election cycle. So I don't think that that's what we're discussing here, or even the current membership on the LSB. Once you're seated, it means...
Just real quick, that wasn't what I was referring to. I wasn't referring to...
I know, but that's what we're talking about. Okay. That's what we're talking about this December, this month, the seating of the LSB alternates and delegates. And so anyway, in terms of in any election year, were there an election this year, you'd be tied to that, to the record date. And there are other ways, of course. You can also serve on an LSB committee. Time served on the LSB does not count, but time served on the LSB committees per the bylaws do count. But if there has been no interest, and like I said, I know with KPFK it's more unique because we didn't make quorum last year, so we're talking about the alternates from the 2010 election. And so if you have some of those alternates, some of whom may have only voted for themselves, right? They might have only gotten one vote. I mean, they're definitely at the bottom of the list. We've seated many alternates already in the past 2 years. And so they have very few votes from the membership. And then on top of that, if they did not volunteer and did not pay $25 or serve on any committees, you would think that it begs the question as to how involved they would be and as LSB members and as delegates of the foundation. Anyway, that was, you know, just my concern. So I think we should address it. It's just that this is the first time we haven't had an election that has been scheduled per the bylaws. So I do believe that it gives us the opportunity to address some of the unanswered questions in the bylaws. We're certainly permitted to do that.
So, Lydia, I hear you saying you want to use the grace period. Sorry, that you want to hear the you want to use the what would have been the record date had we had an election, and would not favor a grace period. Tracy,
that would be my preference. That's just an indication of how devoted you are to the foundation or not.
Yes.
In my opinion, because the bylaws allow you to become a member in so many ways that it makes it almost, you know, I mean, if you can't take advantage of one of those three ways to become a member, it seems that why would you be newly seated and you were at the bottom of the election list? So anyway,
well,
that's my thinking.
I think we should probably get a motion on one way or the other on that, and vote on it tonight if we can. I do want to say that if you run out of the list, then the LSB gets to essentially appoint anyone they want, is my understanding. It has to be, it has to be voted on, but a majority can then seat people who Of course, that would have to be members, but they would not necessarily have been through any election. That is correct. And that, does it, anyone want to correct that?
Yeah, that's correct. That's correct.
Yeah. Okay, so Lawrence, I do agree with Lydia that the question of waivers, which we actually have done at KPFT in the past, I remember sitting on a committee which was giving people waivers. It seems a separate issue, actually. In terms of the people going on to the LSB who are already on the list, who were members at one time, however they got to be members at one time, it doesn't sort of apply to them. So what I'd like to do is to just, it seems to me that's the only real question here, whether A...
Can I address the question when you get a chance?
Let me just finish. So the question is whether, if you're not a member now, or if you're not a member at the time, record date, then, but you were on the list and you were, you know, you had some ranking on the list. Do we want those people to have a grace period? Do we want them to be not able to be seated, and we're going to take the next person? I think that's the main question at the moment.
Well, this is Lydia.
Yeah, go ahead.
So, you know, at any meeting when there is a seating of a delegate, you can always challenge that seating. And so, you know, that kind of process is what I'm trying to avoid to the degree possible. I mean, because then you challenge the seating, but then let's say you give them a grace period, they don't do it, you're going to have this revolving door on the LSD. So I would object to a grace period. I just think we have a record date in the bylaws, and we should stick to that, and I would like to make that a motion.
Okay, good. So the motion is that if you are not a member by the time of the record date, now the record date is that really a definite date that we can calculate for this year when there was no election?
Well, it's a date that presumably all of the stations go by when they ask their members to renew. How else would they do it? I just don't know how. Doesn't everybody use a record date to renew the membership at the station?
This is Bob.
Yeah, Bob?
Yeah, my understanding is that...
George, you're forgetting me, George.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Lawrence. You're first.
No, go ahead. I'll yield to Bob, and then I could go after Bob, if that's okay.
Okay, Bob?
Yeah, just to answer that last question, at least at our station, my understanding is that membership renewals are strictly related to the date of the membership. So if you became a member on January 3rd, then you get your notice, you know, in time for the next January 3rd. It has nothing to do with the record date. The only thing the record date controls is who has voting rights in the election in that year.
Right. So,
and that is why our lists are such a mess, then.
So that may be the case, but it sounds like what we have to do then is to establish a date at the same time. That is to say, I don't
George,
know.
I was going to address that. I'd like to,
okay,
if possible.
Go ahead, Lawrence.
So I believe that those people who ran for election the year that they ran in, that made quorum, should be the people who are held responsible for whether their membership was lapsed. And I don't agree with a grace period. I think that sets precedent. I mean, and we never even haven't dealt with the waivers, you know. So the reason I brought up the waivers, because I want that to be an issue for the future, for the next election. But not to remedy this situation. I think this situation is not remedial, especially by some sort of grace period. I mean, I would completely be against that. It sets too much of a precedent for membership. That's what I think.
Would anyone like to speak for a grace period?
Pat.
Pat, go ahead.
I think we should have a a very short grace period. I think that between the time the person is contacted about the about coming onto the board and the time that they're brought onto the board, there should be a grace period, you know, of just of a couple of days in case they, you know, in case they just forgot or something like that. But because I think this is a very special situation. I mean, it's the first time we've ever had to deal with not having an election. We've brought people onto the board before who were, you know, runner-ups, and they came on because somebody left or had to leave or quit. But this, because the situation is unique, I think, you know, that it will cause more problems for the station if we don't have a grace period than if we do.
Lawrence, back.
Lawrence, go ahead.
So, I mean, that's, I believe since 2010 to the present, that's a pretty long grace period. I don't undermine our listeners in regards to, you know, them forgetting. I mean, we have very sophisticated listeners, very intelligent listeners. And I believe it really shows a complete lack of interest if somebody doesn't renew their membership, who was a candidate who must have had some consciousness about some of the issues in regards or some of the things they wanted to bring to the table. So, I mean, I think 3 years is a long enough grace period, don't you think?
Vanessa to the staff.
Vanessa, go ahead.
Okay, I don't think we can make any assumptions about a person's motivation in terms of why they did or did not do something. I think we can give the benefit of the doubt and give them, in an organized, structured, formal way, notice that you are hereby notified that you must do X by such and such a date. But I wouldn't, by default, say that a three-year period is an automatic grace period. We can't speak to what the situation or the circumstances were without knowing that. So I would give the benefit of the doubt on a progressive station. I think that's work. I think that's appropriate, and allow some sort of grace period. But the person should be officially notified.
This is Lydia.
Okay, Lydia, before I put you back on, does anybody else want to speak to this that hasn't spoken so far?
Hinter would like to speak to it.
Go ahead, Nancy.
You know, George, you know, I can't speak for any other station. Maybe they're the same, maybe not. But if board members don't know that Pacifica is in an absolute critical state, could they really be board members? I mean, I think that giving them an extra chance to buy on is missing the urgency of leadership.
Okay.
Tracy for the staff.
And Vanessa.
Tracy, you go ahead, and then Lydia.
Okay.
I'm doing a time check because those of us on the PMB will have to leave fairly shortly.
Yes.
So I'd like to ask that we go to a vote around 6:30. So,
okay.
It sounds like a whole bunch of the people on the committee are going to leave. And I'm in favor of a brief grace period. I think we have to remember that people have many things going on in their lives. Pacifica is not the only thing. And there are very, very many people who have supported the stations for years who occasionally take a year off. We don't need to get into a moral quandary about it. We should simply give people the opportunity to be of service to us if they wish to.
Okay. Lydia? Lydia?
Yes. Now, what I was going to say is that if you give a grace period, you still have to take into consideration the various ways in which you can become a member. So how do you do that? Do you give them the time to volunteer 3 hours, in their schedule, to attend you would have to deny them one, at least one, for example, attending committee meetings. So you couldn't have between now and the time that most LSBs are meeting time to join a committee, because most committees have a date by which you have to become a member. So, you know, you'd be in violation of the bylaws there. So I don't see how you can accommodate all the provisions for being a member by providing that leeway.
It's just about 6:30. Does anyone object to going to a vote on this?
I object.
Okay. You want to speak, Ron?
Yeah. The reason why is because this is potentially disenfranchising those people who did keep their membership current, who are on the list. So, I mean, this is...
I agree.
Who's that?
Wait, but we don't know what the motion is. Whose motion was first?
It's
we don't know what to agree
only
with.
One motion, Lydia. It's yours. And the motion,
oh, mine. Okay, so, Lawrence, are you objecting to my motion?
No, I'm not. I'm just objecting to going to the vote.
Okay. Well, it's in committee, you can't really... So that's fine. We'll keep talking until we need to. It is, however, 2 minutes to 6:30. Anyone else want to speak to this question of whether we should or should not? Lydia's motion as it stands, if it passes, would establish a definite date by which you have to be a member or you can't accept a position on the board. And we'll have to see what that date is after the fact. But the principle, anyway, is pretty clear, I think. And then if you vote no on that, then effectively the next item we could do is to vote for a grace period of some kind. So if you're in favor of a grace period, you need to vote no on Lydia's. And if you're not, vote yes on Lydia's. Is that clear? Any question about that? Okay. Anyone else want to speak to the issue? Okay. So I'm going to call the roll and see what the vote is. Okay, so yes or no? Yes is yes, a definite date after which you can't accept the position. So, Lydia?
Can we hear the motion actually read?
Lydia?
Yeah, I actually can't because I'm leaving the office. I just sent something. It's similar to what I sent and what had to be done, and just take out recommend. I sent something to the committee?
Yes, you did. Let me see if I can pull it up. I'll see if I can craft something.
I pulled it up. Want me to read it?
Yeah.
Okay. So given that the elections were not held, is this the one, Lydia?
Yes.
Given that the elections were not held this year, we need some sort of press guidelines for the LSBs. One idea is to make sure that the alternates have current memberships as of the last date of record for the bylaws. Membership is a prerequisite for delegateship.
Okay.
Is that what you got there? Just in case?
Let me have a try at it, okay?
Thank you. Hello?
Oh, hello?
Hello. Are we still here?
Am I being called?
No. So, again, let me just say it again and see if it captures what the intent was. Persons who are not members as of such and such a date will have to fill in the date. Will not be eligible to be seated on the LSBs. Is that okay?
Okay.
That's alternate. Yeah.
Okay. So, again, a yes vote on that. A yes is you support that, and no, you don't. Lydia.
Yes.
Okay. Al Bernstein. Vanessa Dixon Briggs.
No.
Nancy Henschel.
Yes.
Bob Lederer.
Yes.
Pat Logan.
No.
Lawrence Reyes.
Yes.
Tracy Rosenberg.
No.
That's it. And 4-3, and I haven't voted yet. And so, I'm going to abstain on this, which means the motion passes. And so we just have to set a date. This, after all, is a recommendation to the PNB. And while I still got those of you who are here, how can we get this implemented quickly in the PNB? Hello?
George, I'm sorry. I'm doing six things at once here. What was the vote?
The vote was 4-3 in favor of the motion.
I'm sorry. I was on mute. This is Jane Zara. I'm sorry. I thought I voted. I voted no.
Well, you voted no. I'm sorry. It was 4-4 in that case. And I didn't call your name, Jane. I didn't realize you were there.
But I was on mute. Sorry.
Okay, and I'm still going to abstain, so that makes the motion fails, actually. So we have no recommendation yet. The leaks are a question of whether, and we're about to lose many of our members.
I want to vote it here.
Yeah, go ahead.
Does that mean that the status quo remains in place? And there's no recommendation from this committee?
That's
The status quo is, I'm not sure what the status quo is. I think you have to be a member to be seated on the board. This was intended to clarify that. And I'm not sure what I just said is really true.
It's under delegates defined and eligibility in the bylaws.
Eligibility to run,
to be a delegate,
yeah,
to be seated as a delegate. Anyway, okay, well, I guess each assembly will decide, and they can have the appropriate challenges. Okay, if necessary. Okay, good night, everyone. I have to get on the PNB call now.
Okay, good night, Julia.
See you guys later. Bye.
Now, we don't have quorum anymore. We can continue. We have to get 5 votes in order to pass anything. I don't know if that's possible. I don't know if we have 5 people. Let's see. Jane, you're here?
Yes.
Lawrence, myself, is 3. Pat is 4. And Bob Litter is 5. Yeah, that's it. If we all agree, we can actually pass something. It happens, you know, occasionally. Okay, so shall we move on to the next item that was on the agenda, which was setting the agenda on the PNB? So this would be a recommendation to the PNB on setting the agenda. At the moment, it says that motions have to be 7 days in advance. Notice has to be made 7 days in advance, except for committees. A committee can bring something to the floor without that kind of notice. And the suggestion was from Lydia that 2 days in advance, the chair, any 2 officers of the foundation, or any 3 directors of the foundation, which is what's needed in order to call a special meeting. You know, essentially, any meeting which is not an in-person meeting is a special meeting, but they've been routinely scheduled by the PNB itself. But this is in the bylaws, and this is would be what's needed to call a meeting. And the suggestion from Lydia is that that would also be what's needed to put an item on the draft agenda. Now, of course, any agenda has to be approved by the board itself. So, but this was bring it up for a vote there. And that further, that 24 hours prior to the meeting, The draft of the agenda shall be sent to the full PND by any of the three offices of the foundation. So, or presumably the chair, or it's by any of the three offices, by any of the offices. So anyone can do it, the chair, the secretary, or the vice chair. So that's our proposal. So it loosens up what's possible to put on the time frame in which people can put things on the agenda. Is there any interest in, first of all, in discussing this? Would we like to adjourn, or do we want to continue and discuss this? I'd like people to just weigh in one at a time.
This is Bob.
Yeah, Bob did.
I think the proposal is worth considering and, you know, raises an important issue, but without the person who put it on the agenda, I think it's difficult to really have a clear conversation about the need for it. So unless someone has a new proposal that we haven't heard yet on some other subject, I would move to adjourn.
Okay. Is there anyone else who's got something else they want to consider on the agenda?
Well, I'd like to make a comment about this potential motion.
Okay, that's fine.
Is the chair ruling that since you only have five people, we cannot address this recommendation?
No, I'm not. I'm asking you what you want to do. In order to actually approve anything, we need five people to agree. So we could, in principle, approve it just as it is. Bob's suggestion was he'd prefer to have Lydia speak to it before he voted on it, so he would consider making a motion to adjourn unless there was somebody who had something else that they wanted to talk about.
Okay. Then I would support that motion to adjourn. I think everybody should be present. I mean, in terms of at least a quorum.
Okay. Anybody else want to speak to this? Have something they'd like to discuss tonight?
This is Jane. I think it would be fair to do it with a larger group. There's something that I would like to put on the agenda, which is I don't know if it's in the purview of the governance committee, but I'm curious about the minutes of the PND, both in and out of executive committee, and how things are decided in the PND to go into executive session. And the reason I ask that is we as an LSB are not, I'm at PFW, we are not really getting clear communications, and I'm not putting anyone at fault. It's just what I've observed over the past year on the board. We really on the LSB are not regularly informed about the very grave issues, you know, the issues of significance that are being discussed and decided at the PNB level. And in the absence of minutes that really have any details about what was discussed or what was voted on or who voted accordingly, we really can't figure out or keep up with what's going on. We really hadn't been briefed on really grave issues that affect our governance, such as the elections and who our board is going to, you know, be comprised of, let alone had any discussion or say in it. So, you know, the move to executive sessions is sort of a mysterious process to me. I don't know if there are standards that are outlined in the bylaws. I haven't checked specifically.
There are, Jane. And if you all will indulge me for a moment, I'll speak to it. You have to be talking about personnel matters, hiring or firing people, or censuring them, or something like that, or a contract that you're planning on signing, or a legal issue, which you're involved in a legal case. And that's about it in terms of going into executive session.
Okay.
In terms of the minutes that come out of it, typically the votes are not recorded. They're recorded.
Right.
Votes are taken, but they're not reported out. Well, what's reported out is the actions that were taken. And I think that's standard practice. It would probably be a violation to report out the actual votes on things.
Oh, I see. Let me see. I had one other question about the communications between. Okay, maybe this isn't an appropriate question, but I asked it of our LSD. When PNB representatives get voted in by the LSD, right? So it's then the PNB members are sort of responsible for carrying out the wishes of that body. Is that correct? I mean, people don't go to be PNB reps to decide issues completely in a vacuum in the sense that they don't have to report back to the LSD or consult the LSD. Is that correct?
Yes and no. They are, their fiduciary duty is to the foundation itself and when they're seating on the PNB, and this transcends their responsibility to they have to make they can't simply take orders from the LSB. If they think the LSB is recommending something which they think is not in the best interest of the Pacifica Foundation, it may be in the best interest of the local station, but if they think it's not in the best interest of the for the foundation, they are supposed to vote that the way they think it should be, that is, whatever is in the best interest. On the other hand, it's also clear in the sort of way it's set up that they should be reporting back at every LSD meeting. They should be reporting back what they can as to what's happening there.
Okay. All right, thanks.
Okay. Okay.
Bob?
Yeah, Bob?
I just wanted to address the first question that Jane posed about executive sessions, because the bylaws do require a report out from each executive session as to why it was an executive session and something about what is discussed. And the pattern that I've observed over the years, and I think, in my opinion, it's gotten worse in recent years, is that 95% of the time what boards or committees do or LSBs do is they simply track the identical bylaws exemption language, you know, which says all meetings must be open except those, and then it gives the list that you summarized earlier, George, and just says things like, the board met in executive session and discussed legal matters or personnel matters or contractual matters, or, you know, whatever. It offers absolutely no meaningful information, and it makes a mockery of this whole open meetings provision that if you are going to discuss something that, you know, has some legitimate reason to be in closed session, you owe the members at least to tell them what you talked about. You know, if it's highly sensitive about someone's personnel status, then maybe you don't necessarily have to say it was the program director or the general manager or the whatever. But I think in most cases you can safely err on the side of disclosure without putting anyone at legal risk or not embarrassment, because that's too bad if someone's embarrassed. But if someone is, you know, legally their personnel rights are infringed, obviously you don't want to do that. But if it's, you know, like, I can't think of a specific example right now, but I can just say this is tied in to what I consider to be an abuse of executive session at all levels of Pacifica, where things, and I've been in meetings like this and I've objected, you know, where matters that are clearly not falling under those exemptions get talked about and they shouldn't be. And I say, you know, I move to postpone this item to public session where it belongs. And so I don't know what we can do about it. Maybe we should discuss it more at the next meeting to just figure out, is there a way to at least remind, you know, sort of give a strong reminder to all of our LSB and PNB members and committee members that they have to adhere to the spirit and the letter of the bylaws, and they can't kind of use loopholes to get out of disclosing what they're doing, you know, unless there's some absolutely firm legal reason why they shouldn't. That's it.
Thanks.
Anyone else want to speak to this?
Pat.
Yeah, Pat, go ahead.
I absolutely concur with what Bob said. I mean, I also feel that the executive session is being abused, and that they should, that the PNB or as a matter of fact, LSBs in executive session should carefully consider and disclose as much as possible, you know, without harming the foundation. And it doesn't seem to me that they do that. They're so afraid that they're going to make a mistake that they don't, they always err on the side of not disclosing anything. I think, you know, it's a problem.
Yeah, I think it's two separate problems, actually. One is actually going into executive session to talk about things which don't belong there. And Bob has quite properly in the past, to my knowledge, you know, said they don't belong here. The other, and anyone can do that. The other is, it may be properly a subject that's, you know, for executive session, and then the question is, how much do you say afterwards? I think it is the case that essentially people have been erring on perhaps on the side of caution and saying very, very little, so that perhaps more could be said that way. Perhaps we could the PMB could be more forthcoming in how it describes what it did in executive session without violating anybody's rights or putting it in any jeopardy. Anything else about this?
Vanessa.
Bob and then Vanessa.
Well, Vanessa can go first.
Okay, Vanessa.
Thank you. Now, I was just going to suggest: is it this an opportunity, either now, if everybody agrees, or at the next our next conference call, to make a recommendation for someone to make a motion, to make a recommendation for the PNB to do what it's supposed to do, which is to report out, because we're facing the same thing. It's like the PNB members are living in terror, being thrown off the PNB if they say anything about anything. And so, I mean, you know, Jane's point, you know, was well raised. So I don't know if the solution is for a motion to be made, you know, as I just noted.
Anybody else want to speak to this?
Well, I still want to.
Yeah, Bob, go ahead. And then who was that after that?
You want me to go? Or do you call it on me, George?
No, Bob, you go ahead, and then Lawrence.
Okay. Well, yeah, no, I agree with the last comment. I think we should all think about how to address this as a governance committee. I don't have an answer right this minute, but, you know, maybe by next meeting we can put something on the table. I just want to go back to something that George said a few minutes ago that I wanted to express a different view on, which is that that boards and committees are not allowed to disclose how their members voted in executive session. My clear understanding is everything about executive session can be disclosed if the body votes by majority to do so. And in fact, there's been a whole series, there's been a handful of actual motions that the full text was reported out, not necessarily with the vote, you know, who voted which way, but certainly, you know, the following motion was adopted, the ED is directed to do such and such by such and such date or whatever. And so it certainly is possible that along with that vote on what to report out, a board or a committee or an LSB could say, this issue is of such importance that the members may want to know how people voted. So by majority vote, you know, you can move and it can pass to say, and we also move to, and we also agree to disclose who voted which way. There's no restriction on that. It's not breaching anyone's privacy because it's not a private matter. You're on the board representing your local station area. So in other words, once the matter itself is deemed appropriate to say publicly, then certainly the vote for that motion can also be made public if the board or committee votes for it. So that's all.
Who's that kid?
This is just Vanessa with a question, if it's okay. Is it okay for each person individually, each PNB member delegate individual to say, this is how I voted. Nothing prohibits that, correct?
I don't know, actually. I think it does. I think Bob is right in the following sense, that the board decides at the end of each executive session what's to be reported out. And if the votes aren't reported out if it's decided that the votes will not be reported out, I think it is actually a breach of confidentiality for anyone to say how they voted.
Wow.
Yeah.
This is
Lawrence, you wanted to speak. Lawrence? Are you muted?
I'm sorry, I was on mute.
Yeah. Did you want to speak?
Yes, sir.
But you did.
I mean, I completely understand where Vanessa's coming from and where Bob's coming from. I mean, I've been to quite a few PNB meetings, and the last one I went to in the great city of Houston, there was actually, what, Bob, about an hour or maybe an hour and a half of open session. The rest of it was held in the executive session. So, I mean, you got people that, you know, come on their own dime, you know, to be educated, to, you know, inform public comment and all of that. And yet, you know, they don't even report out. Or if they report out, they say two words. You know, the PNB voted to whatever, like to hire the ED. And that's it. And there was nothing else that got reported out. Is that right, Bob? And there was no discussion on the not labor management agreement, but the lease management agreement. There was nothing about the motion to dismantle the KPFK PD search committee that was democratically voted in, and it contradicts even their own motion, where they say that that non-members cannot serve on program search committees, but yet they want to convene the previous search committee with non-members right now because they termed out. So, I mean, I'd like to also put that on the agenda. Maybe, I don't know if it's appropriate now or for next time. But, you know, I completely empathize with what Vanessa's saying. It's very frustrating.
Well, Bob, you'd want to speak?
I certainly agree with Lawrence's last comment. I just wanted to go back to what George said about one's own position on an issue that's discussed in executive session. People I've talked to over the years have said it's clearly unreasonable to restrict someone from saying where they stand on an issue. It's not a question of disclosing what happened in the executive session. It's just saying if there's just been a public report out saying, in executive session, the board passed the following motion. You know, the foundation will move to do X, Y, and Z by so-and-so date. Okay? There's absolutely nothing wrong with people saying, I agree with that idea. I think that's a good idea. So I think it's really way too rigid to say you can't say your own position. I mean, yeah, you can't say, well, so-and-so disagreed with me. Okay, that you can't say. But to say, you know, your own position on the issue, it doesn't have to be in terms of the vote itself, but you're, you know, what do you think of this motion? I think it's a good motion. So that's
you know, Bob, I don't know. I mean, certainly reasonable whether it's also consistent with California law and what confidentiality, I don't know. I agree with you. It certainly makes sense that we should be able to do that.
Well, we're talking about things that have already been made public, so that's the point. I'm saying after the board has reported what its action was, then certainly you can say whether you agree or disagree with that.
Which is different from, I suppose, because it's different from saying how you voted.
Yeah.
I certainly agree. You want to be able to do that, but I don't know whether. Again, I don't exactly know what the details of the law are about confidentiality and these things.
Yeah, to my understanding, there is no legal, there is no law on this question at all. This is a matter of discretion for boards of nonprofits. They can decide what they want. I mean, you know, obviously there are legal issues that should be in closed session about if you're going to say so-and-so has been doing, you know, terrible things on their job and therefore such and such should happen to them, then, yeah, you can't publicly talk about that. That's a different thing. But once the board has properly voted to say we're going to disclose that we took action on such and such issue, then of course people can say what they think of the action.
Okay. Anybody else want to speak to this issue? And it seems to me there's a sort of a consensus that this is worth putting on the agenda for the next meeting. Is anybody opposed to that? So, and to be clear, the question is a discussion of what's appropriate and what we would like, I guess, really, in terms of the norms for reporting out and also for what kinds of issues go into executive session.
George, I'd like to speak something.
Yeah, go ahead. I'm done.
Yeah, so I certainly agree that should be put on the agenda. I also like to request that the KPFK Program Director Search Committee, the task force that was put into place, the party of three, or, you know, the gang of three, whatever, be put on the agenda for us to look into and see if there was any improprieties or any abuse of power by the majority. So I'd like to put that on the agenda for our next meeting, if that's okay.
I think it is okay. The member can put whatever they want on the agenda. So just to not be clear what it is, this was about a year or so ago. There was a PND, not a P, yeah, it was a KPFK search committee, which was looking for a new program director. It had gone a considerable way in terms of actually narrowing down the field, and then it was dismissed. Is that right?
Yes.
By the interim executive director. Is that right?
Yes.
With the support of the majority of the board.
I didn't hear you.
With the support of the majority of the board?
In support? Well, there's a huge contradiction because first the PNB passed a motion for the whole network, for the whole all five LSPs, to make sure that non-LSP members are not on the program search committee. And that was made because we wanted to have listeners on the program search committee with confidentiality statements signed and all of that. But, you know, now they're saying that they want the edict that came out of the PNB task force of three people was to... I mean, I never got a call in regards to this investigation. A lot of our LSP members didn't get calls in regards to this investigation. So, you know, it's a huge contradiction because now they're saying that they need to reconvene the last program search committee for KPFA, which that would put non-LSP members convening a committee to hire a program director. And it's completely... you know, outside the purview, it violates the bylaws and it violates common sense, you know. So,
okay, we'll put the item on the agenda for next week. Also, I'll put on next month, actually, and we'll also put on Lydia's motion about introducing items on the agenda. And I guess that's it. So the three items will be on then. The agenda, introducing items on the agenda, the norms for reporting out and putting into the closed sessions, and a review of what happened with the program director's search committee at KPFK. Okay, anything else? I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
Move to adjourn.
Any objection?
No.
Okay, hearing none, I'll schedule it for the first Tuesday of January.
Okay, George, thank you for your time. Appreciate it.
Great thank you.
Good night.
Good night. Good night.
Yeah, come on, boy.